Let's turn to two scriptures. Two or three scriptures I want to look at. Actually, we're going to be talking about grace within and grace upon. Grace within and grace upon. John Gospel chapter 1. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That's Jesus, you know. And dwell among us. Now, in my Bible, you can go full of grace and truth. They got some emphasis. You see them lines in my Bible where he's saying be held. They add that. And the Word was made flesh and dwell among us full of grace and truth. Now, that's an emphasis to show you some other things. There, they have it in the bracket. So I'll read the whole thing. And the Word was made flesh. They're talking about Jesus. And because Jesus was in the spirit world, then he was made flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. But what I want you to see there, what Jesus was full of. Full of grace and truth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to show you something. That I had to, it's puzzled me. I had to meditate on it until the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to it. And I'll share it with you in a few moments. Now, look at the 16th verse. And of his fullness have you all received. Now, it's not saying grace and truth now. It says, and grace for grace. You see that? All right, let me show it to you one more time. In verse 17, and I'll come back and share it with you. For the law was given by Moses, but there it is again. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So I asked the Lord in my meditation, I said, why grace is before truth? Why grace? Why not truth and grace? And then why you say grace to grace for us? Because truth cannot operate without grace. You won't be able to operate in truth without the grace of God. That's why you say you're saved by grace through faith. So faith really can't operate without grace. Isn't that something? You all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
So grace is important, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So grace carry an excellent anointing that changes everything to God's will. See, grace takes you out of the flesh. Grace takes you out of the sense realm. Grace wraps you up from Satan. Satan cannot handle grace. Satan has no grace, but you have grace. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So grace is a place that you can go in the Lord to activate truth, activate your faith, etc. So grace carries excellent anointing that changes everything to God's will and my favor. Don't forget my favor. Changes everything to God's will and my favor. So God's will and my favor is me having an understanding of the sanctifying power of grace, the saving power of grace. Isn't it all in the grace? We'll find it further in Scripture. When strengthening grace is received and released properly, all of heaven is on the move. Know the power of embracing grace on daily basis. Embracing grace on daily basis. Now watch what happened, because man makes the excuse about sin and say grace to cover, but grace empowers you not to sin. So when you know how to activate the grace that is within you and the grace that is upon you, because the same pattern that Jesus lived by on earth, we have to live by. So here, all disgrace must leave God's house now. See, once you learn how to function in grace, sin will not be magnified by the church, by the pulpit, by elders, and by people holding position in the church. They're going to live sanctified life. Now, I remember there was a big split when Bishop Mason started teaching on sanctification and holiness. The Baptists, there was a big split. They said, oh, this is too much. But the Lord not asking you to do it. He asking you to yield to what he already done for you. All right. So disgrace, grace is the only thing can take disgrace off the body of Christ. All disgrace must leave God's house now. Now, the Lord said to me, grace is designed to maximize your potential and release all kingdom possibilities in your life. You heard me? Grace is designed to maximize your potentials and release all kingdom possibilities in your life. So you see, a lot of things we're trying to do just by faith, but we got to depend on his grace. A lot of things we're trying to do just by truth. A lot of things we're just trying to do by praying in tongues, by memorizing scriptures, but grace got to be there. See, when you hear the word grace, you hear the word cross, Christ, you hear the word cross, you hear the word resurrection, you hear the word ascended, you hear the word seated at the right hand, you hear the word sending of the Holy Spirit. All of that in the context of grace. My God. Now, the grace within, we see that the grace is full of grace and truth, right? Now, look at Luke 2:40. For a minute. And now I'll start giving you principles that you can apply, because we got to penetrate your intellect. Your intellect cannot handle this. That's why holiness and sanctification and living right is not fully blooming in the body of Christ, because there's so much emotional, motivational speaking, intellectual scripture reading, and that the Holy Ghost don't get a chance to penetrate and bring the anointing. But he will come tonight. Yes, sir. He will come in this place tonight, because I asked him to. If you ask him, he'll do it. All right. So in Luke 2, because I know what I have to do as a pastor and how I have to prepare the people that God have assigned to me, they got to know what's going on, and they got to know how to handle themselves. Look in Luke 2:40. Grace within and grace upon. God's favor within me and God's favor is upon me. You almost can say I'm special. See, y'all scared to say that. Y'all scared. It's not about you. I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about what God have done for me. You see what I'm saying? In the 40th verse of the second chapter, he says, and the child grew. He's talking about Jesus again. Now he's growing. He's growing now. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. See it? Mm-hmm. Filled with wisdom. See it? Look what was on him. And the grace of God was upon him. Now, the same pattern of the anointing within and the anointing upon, grace within and grace upon. Are you following me? Could it be that we've been trying to work the anointing without grace? Trying to work faith without grace? Work scriptures without grace? See, to really understand grace, you have to understand your infirmity. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12:9. I haven't started yet. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I'm just building you up to it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Because there's a few things we need to see, and there's a few traps I need to get you out. A few places that you couldn't get to. The Holy Ghost will get you there. You don't mind the Holy Ghost getting you there, right? All right. All right, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, what he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now look at the next part of this statement. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, the church been so modernized, they're so up to date, they have lost contact with God. See, we all must, no matter what transpire in your life, what the Holy Ghost let you do, you still full of infirmity. And you need God's amazing grace to keep you going. But we got so many superstars, you know, and so everybody won't be a star. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see that, right? All right. Now, before I give you the first principle, I'm going to tell you something else. Encounters with the Holy Spirit of grace releases transformation grace. Now, I was reading behind, studying the life of Bishop Mason, who started the Church of God in Christ, and I was preaching in Atlanta one time, 20, 25 years ago, and the bishop that I was preaching for told me, said, man, that Bishop Mason anointed. Well, I didn't know who you're talking about. I came back and did some reading on it, and then the Lord told me, go back and start studying again, and I'm going to give you three things that are going to be real powerful when I was studying it this afternoon. We must bring back to the church, number one, the dynamics of holiness. Number two, spiritual encounter. And number three, prophetic consciousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, we got to come back to the dynamic of holiness. We need to be holy. And we need to know that the only thing that can make us holy is that we understand grace. Yes, sir. Understand that Jesus took all our sin, took all our weakness, took all our defeat. And that's the way we walk in holiness, by yielding to the grace of God. Spiritual encounters, you know that. We got to have that. And then prophetic consciousness, conscious of the prophetic. Now, principle number one I want to share with you about grace within and grace upon, steps and principles that you can use in your life. And it ain't good enough just to preach a good sermon and you get all happy and everything. No, I need something to bring home with me. How about that? Yes, I need something. When I go to church, I need to bring something home. I could have stayed at home. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all at the house now, but y'all not at home. You must always be aware that you are a carrier of supernatural grace. And notice this beautiful scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:10. I had to keep going over that scripture because this scripture recognizes a fact that I want you to recognize. If you can recognize this fact in 1 Corinthians 15:10, you must always be aware that you're a carrier of supernatural grace. Say supernatural grace. Supernatural grace. See, they made grace look like a wimp or like a sissy or like it don't have no power. You know, just grace. Grace is the most powerful thing in the scripture. It's Jesus dying. Grace replaced the law, wiped the law. Grace put us back in right condition with God. Grace is the whole spectrum of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus died for, so we can have grace. That's why he was full of it. He is full of grace and truth. Look what that 10th verse said. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. That is, you see it?
Yeah.
And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I. See, his grace carried him, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, if you ever get a hold of that and wrap that scripture around your life, watch what's going to happen. See, it's a grace life. The church, every member of the body of Christ should be living a grace life. You understand what I'm saying? We should be, yes, yes. We know we got infirmities. Anybody here know you got infirmities? Anybody online know you got infirmities? Yeah. We should be living a grace life. And wrap God, let God wrap his grace around us. All right. Turn to another scripture now. And you brought your shouting clothes?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Turn to Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me here. Grace within and grace upon. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Justification and sanctification supposed to walk together. You were justified once and you're continually being sanctified to stay in your justification. Justification and sanctification. Justification means I've been made the righteousness of God. Sanctification means I'm going to live a holy life and then let that righteousness flow through me while I'm here on earth. Justification and sanctification. I'm justified. Jesus paid the price. But I'm constantly being sanctified on a daily basis. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you the principle and then I'll read the scripture. I'll tell you what scripture. I told you what scripture yet?
Yes,
no, I just told you the book, right?
Romans 5.
That's all I told you?
Yes.
That's all I wanted to tell you. All right. Now, let me read the principle and I'll give you the scripture. Grace connects me to righteousness that I may reign in every situation. R-E-I-G-N, in case you don't know what I'm talking about. Grace connects me to righteousness that I may reign, rule, regulate in every situation. How many like that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to have accusation. You're going to have attacks. You're going to have distraction come. You're going to have accusing come. But grace cause you to reign in every situation. Who hearing me? In every situation. That is a powerful word. And the scripture we're going to read is shouting ground. Romans 5:17. My God. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness shall reign when they get to heaven. Reign on Sunday. No, reign in life. I was telling my wife, I was walking my morning walk, and the Lord dealt with me about life. He says, I want you to take a full look at the life I give you. I said, yes, sir. He says, you have eternal life. I said, yes, sir. Praise God. That's everlasting life. I said, yes, sir. Praise God. He says, I also give you abundant life. And I also give you a long, satisfied life. He said, now turn it around. I want you to turn it around. I said, yes, sir. He says, abundant life. I want you to live it. A long, satisfied life. I want you to live it. He said, you already got eternal life. So don't be trying to live eternal life. Live the abundant life. And live the long, satisfied life. People get so spiritual and mystic, you know. The Lord. He said, go ahead and live the abundant life. Let me do it for you. You get over there in the spirit realm and not doing nothing yet. You're not letting nothing happening to you. Oh, my, I can't stay there. Grace connect me to righteousness that I may reign in every situation. You can say reign in life in every situation. You listening? Hallelujah. Grace, glory, and God's goodness creates a divine flow that releases miracles. Grace, maybe that's the missing ingredient in grace. We're trying to operate in God's glory and operate in God's anointing, and we're leaving grace out. See, the Bible says, look in Galatians 6:14. The Bible says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ. That's what I glory in. So grace released the glory. Grace, glory, And God's goodness create a divine flow, create a divine flow, create a divine flow. Holiness, sanctification, right living, clean living, a divine flow that Satan can't move in. That releases miracle. 1 Peter 5:10. That releases miracle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That releases miracle. All right, you little Bessie here. First Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, established, strengthened, perfect. Look at this. Perfect. Make you matured, establish you, strengthen you, and then settle you. Now, every personal case, every confrontation you have, grace can carry it out. See, he wants us to mature in grace. We need to mature. We need to become complete in grace. Receive the grace that God has given for you. Look what it says again. But the God of all grace, that's what he called him. Hallelujah. He called him the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
After that you have suffered a while. Well, you may go through a few things, but if you stick with his grace, he'll make you matured enough to know your next step.
Yeah.
Huh? He'll establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. See, you don't have to worry about the situation. See, the situation is not the problem. Anybody, whatever you're going through, that's not the problem. See, notice he didn't say he's going to settle the situation. No, he's going to settle you, because he had made it possible for you to handle the situation. You're so busy with the situation. You're losing because you're spending too much time with the situation. You're praying all night about the situation. No, let me penetrate you. But the God of all grace, I'm stuck, who have called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. See, grace and glory. And that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, you mature, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. In verse 11. My God. My God. Let me show you something in the Old Testament along that line. Daniel chapter 7. Let's go over there for a minute. In the Old Testament, let me find Daniel here. Chapter 7. Ezekiel, then Daniel, right? Is that the way it goes? Y'all know the books?
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 7. And somebody going to be looking the rest of the night. I'll be going home, going to bed. They're still looking for Daniel. Chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nation, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which should not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. See, grace put you in that place. Grace take you into the glory of God. Grace take you into dominion over every situation. Grace enable you to live a holy life. Yes, you're going to have temptation. Yes, you're going to have a chance to mess up. But grace, if you know how to operate in grace, if you don't prevent grace, grace said, no, that's not the life you live. Your flesh can't overcome your grace. Your soul can't whoop your grace. All these excuses we're using, talking about, well, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm saved, but I got a soul in the body. They can't overcome grace. That's an excuse. See? Grace anoint me to preach the gospel of grace. Then Acts 20:24 is called a gospel of grace. The gospel of grace. That's what people need to hear, the gospel of grace. They don't need to hear the little sugar watered, milk warming grace. They're teaching about your God got everything covered and you can do anything. They don't need to hear that mess. That was a deception. I stayed up all night, many nights. I left my bedroom, went in the bedroom, the back of my house, studying, trying to find out what they were talking about. Finally, the Lord said, they ain't talking about nothing. I got up, I don't want them on. Get on with me. Leave them alone. See, they ain't talking about nothing. Talking about you can do. I had me saying it tomorrow. Go ahead and smoke your cigarette. God got you. Shh. I was in Texas. Someone said that. They were messing around with them. Now, listen. Let me try to get back here now. God. You saw the gospel of grace? Did that first say the gospel of grace? Huh? But none of these things moved me. Not the kind of life deal unto myself that I might finish my call with joy in the ministry which I received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God. Prosperity is the gospel of God. Men just don't understand it. Hallelujah. The gospel of grace is what I'm preaching tonight. The gospel of grace that you can live holy. You can live sanctified in a hell-fired world. Yes, sir. Naked women walking around everywhere. Men don't know where they're going, but you still can be holy. Yes, sir. Got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. You must. I know. You must remind yourself of the grace of prosperity. Oh, I want somebody to argue with this. I want somebody to say, I want somebody to put some, I want somebody to open their mouth against prosperity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Prosperity is in the same category with righteousness. Righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, prosperity and riches and abundance. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9, he died for them both. He died for righteousness. He died for prosperity. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:21 said he who knew no sin became sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God, right? Well, look what it's saying here. Look what it says here. For he had made him to be sin for us. So it's a sin to be broke. It's a sin not to have enough. It's a sin to be in debt up to your neck. Live all your life in debt. It's a sin. But you know the grace. It's a grace. It's part of grace. Prosperity is part of grace, my brother and sister. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Don't give me no deep revelation on that. Go back to the 7th verse of that same opening. 2 Corinthians 8 and 7. I want you to see this. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, I'm going to say it clearly. It's a money grace. It's a prosperity grace. It's abundance grace. That's what the whole 8th chapter, 9th chapter is what they're talking about. Prosperity is in God's grace. Many scriptures, but I want you to have something to work with. I've been there while you preach one scripture and just go over and over again. But it's time that we have enough on our belt to grab it, have 3 or 5 shots in one time. If it wasn't for God's throne of grace, where would we be without grace and mercy? In Hebrews 4:16. Grace is so powerful, God made a whole throne of grace. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find grace and mercy to help. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in time of need, when temptation come and they're real strong, when opposition come real strong, you need to go to the throne. You need to say, God, I can't make it. That's one of the things that Christians don't want to say now, because they so think they're so powerful and they got so many titles. But Paul said, I came to you in weakness and trembling and fear. And the greatest apostle there was, but he knew he had to depend on God. We are not dependent on God. We're dependent on prayer. We're dependent on scripture. We're not dependent on God. Grace. I need grace. You need grace. I don't care. I've flown all over the world, been to Madison Square Garden, on full jet, but I need God. I can't come up here talking about I'm no popular preacher. I ain't no popular preacher. You popcorn. But they done set them up now. Set everybody up so popular, you know. Yeah. And nobody think they need grace, but I got to go to that throne, brother. Yeah. And you pretend you know it. Hebrews 4:16. Make sure you go to that throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
What happened when you become full of grace and truth? What happened when you become full of grace and truth? You become just like Jesus. See, you become just like Jesus. What you mean, just like Jesus? You can handle it. Jesus handled everything. See, Jesus died that we can be just like him. You follow me? And when you're full of grace and truth, see, you can be full of grace to grace. You can be full of grace and truth. Jesus said the truth set you free, right? Why a lot of people not free? They just got the truth. They don't have grace. They don't know the dynamics of grace. Grace says, grace is the receipt that is already done. And truth stir you to it. But you got to have the grace. See, grace is the receipt Jesus got at the cross. Grace is the finished ticket. It's paid for. See, you follow what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't have to do nothing for that. Grace is already done. But no, you do not apply your faith, walk in truth, and you're free. So a lot of times people had a lot of truth, but they had no grace. Why would it say Jesus, full of grace and truth? Why Jesus had to be full of grace and truth? See, Jesus was full of the grace that he was going to give on the cross. He was full of it already. You'd be just like Jesus. That's John 1:14. We read that. Then my brothers and sisters that was birthed in grace, then Ephesians 2, keep us from being lost. Ephesians 2:8-9. And I include 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Birthed in grace. You were birthed by grace. Grace and faith. Then there, grace that, turn to Titus 2. Oh my, the grace teachers in trouble tonight. They didn't got it. Talk about God. God got it. God know you can't do right. What? God know you can't. What? God done put righteousness in you, and you making excuses for people, and got people out there doing all kind of stuff. Talk about God know you can't do right. What? God ain't never read that. God, he give you enough for you to do right. We need holiness back in the church. We need sanctification back in the church. We need pureness back in the church. We need people who live in a good life. We need people who can call you a liar. You accuse themselves. You lying. I ain't did that. You lying. See? You lying, rascal. You lying. Hallelujah. Let me catch back up here. Grace. What are we talking about? Where were?
Titus.
Yeah, let me get back to Titus. I call it bringing grace. Keep us from being contaminated. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. All grace, false grace teachers. Verse 12, false grace teachers. I want y'all to hear this right. False grace teachers. I want you to hear this, because you done told God people that they got to be weak. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in heaven. No, we can't do that in this world. Now, we got to wait till we get to heaven. See, grace brought heaven to earth. See, grace, oh, I don't know if somebody going to be able to handle this, but I can handle it. Y'all got to pray about it. Grace made us just like Jesus. So whatever Jesus could handle, you and I can handle. Because Jesus, not portfolio, Jesus gave us his character. You see, Jesus put the same substance in us. Jesus had no sin. But grace and mercy can cover us to the point that we have no sin. Yes, I know some deep person going to come now. Oh, everybody sin. Yeah, you want an excuse, you baboon. You want an excuse. God, people need to know this. God, people need to know, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, bring holiness with it. And bring holiness and bring sanctification, the power to live a sanctified life, the power to say no to your soul and your body. Shut up. Line back up with the spirit. You got the ability to do that. Are you following me? I'm a close. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. See, the law couldn't do that. The law, that's why people got to get in trouble. But when grace came, we in Romans 8 now. Yes, there are no condemnation who in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8 2, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me what? Made me what? Free. From what do you mean free? Made me free from the law of sin and death. What do you mean? What do you mean? Satan can't handle me. Yeah. See? He can't make me do nothing. Got this excuse crowd. You can live holy. I've been living a holy and sanctified life ever since I got saved. That's right. Every day. But I know it ain't me. I'm full of infirmities. But grace, I know how to lean on grace. Lean on truth. Lean on mercy. See, that's what I want you to do, those who listen to me. You know, if you got any shortcoming going on in your life, something going on in your life that's not right, that's why God got us here tonight. To impart to you, because the anointing, the grace anointing is moving in this place. Keep me bringing grace. I call it bringing grace. Keep us from being contaminated. See? When you like that, one knee hit the floor, all the answers start coming. Because you ain't got to go through all that. Lord, forgive me for that. Lord, I did this. Lord, I did this. Lord, I know grace coming. Lord, have mercy. No, you ain't got to do all that. He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Come with a clean heart. You listening? All right. Let me find a place to close. Let's talk a minute about what I read, about blessing grace. Receiving God's grace, power, and ability to meet our needs, and the ability to bring joy to others. Keep us from lack and selfishness. We read 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. in Ephesians 3:20, I put it in, now unto him that is able to do exceed. That's a great scripture. Breakthrough grace. Breakthrough grace. 1 Peter 4:10. Breakthrough grace. Divinely imparted gift. Keep us from being unproductive. Breakthrough grace. Somebody say breakthrough grace.
Breakthrough grace.
Yeah, now whatever you're dealing with tonight, you came to this class, that word is there, breakthrough grace. Let's see 1 Peter 4:10. As every man has received a gift, and even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. There's breakthrough grace that bring you out, bring you in, and keep you in. Keep us from being unproductive. My goodness, let me close. I'm going to spit a lot of things out right fast. I'm going to spit it out fast and close. I'm not going to even call scriptures with it because it's so clear. Saving grace, sanctifying grace, supplying grace, sealing grace, supplication grace, satisfying grace, shouting grace, amazing grace, astounding grace, abounding grace, awesome grace, ascending grace, absolute grace, my goodness, awareness grace, apostolic grace, alarming grace. Grace, 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 grace. Oh, you just go on and on and on. Shouting grace. Think about you can't tie me down. Think about all things are possible. Think about everything that hindering me is only temporary. It gets you in a position that you shout all the time. You shout in season, out of season. They're shouting grace. You know grace got it covered. And then we sung for many years, amazing grace. That grace is amazing. Why is it so amazing? Because nothing can stop it. It's the same grace that Jesus. So it is amazing how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Huh? It's amazing. It's amazing the things that grace has brought you through. I'm talking to you. It's amazing. Come on, talk to me in here like y'all ain't been through nothing. It's amazing. The thing that grace has brought. You're on the line. I'm on the line. Let me close. I'm trying to close. But it's amazing. When you made a mistake, God forgive you. It's amazing. When it seemed like you couldn't make it, God made a way out of nowhere. It's amazing. When your prayer seemed like it wasn't working, but God put his hand on his shoulder and told you it's going to be all right. It's amazing when everybody turned their back on you. Yes, nobody won't give you a helping hand.
Yes,
but God said, I got you.
Yes,
just keep pressing forward.
Yes,
it's amazing how a man can die on a cross.
Yes,
and they nail him and give a sword in his side.
Yes,
it's amazing how that man had no reason to die. But he died in our place. We're talking about grace. It's amazing. Men whipped him with a strap. A whip had claws in that whip. And when they hit him, they dragged it and it cut his skin. It's amazing. They took him off that cross. I'm talking about amazing grace. They took him off that cross and they marched him down to the gravesite. It's amazing. They put a big stone over that grave. Make sure nobody can get him out. It's amazing that an angel came and rolled that stone away. It's amazing when they went to that grave, he was not there, but they found a napkin fold. That means he wasn't in a hurry. He wasn't afraid of nobody. I tell you, if you let that grave get on you, I'm not afraid of nobody. I don't care who come, what they say, what they do. I'm not afraid of them because I got God's grace. It's amazing that grace whipped death. Grace and death met. Death there got you now. Grace said, no, it's only a temporary moment. I'm about to rise and walk up out of here. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's amazing. The last battle you was in and seemed like it wasn't, you might be in something right now. But tonight, the amazing grace of God is getting a hold of your home, getting a hold of your children, getting a hold of every situation. You who watching me in ministry, your ministry might not be flowing like it should flow, but you got in this amazing impartation. Oh, I feel the presence of God here tonight. It's amazing how his blood flowed down from his head down to his side, paying for the price, paying for my shortcoming, paying for my weakness, paying for my mistake. It's amazing that I'm a child of a blood. I'm a child of a king. It's amazing when I can sing when I've got trouble. I still can sing. I can pray them when things don't look like they work it out. I can pray them when it look like I'm locked up. I can pray them in a lion den. I can pray them in a fire furnace. I can pray them when Daniel... Praise them in the lion den. I can pray them when I'm looking at a Goliath, because I know grave is going to take that Goliath out. Grave.